What's up, Cougar fans, and welcome again aboard the Hype Train podcast. I am your conductor, Joe Wheat, as always with my boys, Trevor Levitt, Hunter Miller, and we got Chandler Miller here as well. We got a full slate.
The gang's
all here. This never seems to happen. I guess this is what happens when you approach your 30s, is all of like four dudes are usually available on a Wednesday night. So this is growing up.
Well, except for one had to teach, or I guess, you know, teach Mutual, right? But you, how would you classify what you do on Wednesday nights with Mutual? It's not teaching, it's
shepherding,
supervising.
Supervising.
Guiding, walking, deciding.
Ministering.
That's the best one.
So our bishop rules. He is a total cowboy. He's got a big truck and he has like a big flatbed for hay. Transporting hay. And so we set up like a little hay ride for the youth tonight. And we drove through the retirement community that we have in our ward and sang Christmas carols from the hay, from like the hay ride, sleigh ride. It was pretty sweet. But I definitely didn't do stuff like that when I was a youth.
My mutuals every Wednesday night was show up. They would have an activity planned. And they would be like, you can do this or you can go play basketball. And so naturally, majority of us went and played basketball. But we also had like four, I think, like young men. Because I was in an older neighborhood in Salt Lake City. So like the youth in the primary was small because it was a, like I said, an older neighborhood and thus an older crowd.
Gotcha.
So like we had to combine, like I think all growing up, like we combined with like you, mutual groups from other wards that were also very small, and then just played basketball like every Wednesday from probably the age of 15 to 18. It was great. So if there's any other young men like leaders out there and you want to put on just the best mutual every Wednesday night, just open gym, hour and a half, just run it.
We would have been best friends at Mutual. I think that was basically my experience as well.
Either that or we would have developed a healthy unhealthy rivalry.
Yeah. Dude. It's a good thing we were separated by what, 25 miles between Salt Lake and Kaysville.
Yeah. And what, you're a year older than I am?
I think so.
You're a high school class of 13?
14. Oh my gosh. I can't remember. 13. Yes.
Yeah.
I got
you and Joe are 13.
I'm 14.
Me and Chandler are 14. Yeah.
Gosh, babies. I think my favorite part about being in the young men, I got to say, is whenever we do play sports, I wouldn't say we have the most athletic of young men's groups. And so whenever we do something that's like sports related, I just feel like a god. Like, just. I'm out here
over 13 year old young men.
Oh, absolutely. No mercy. No mercy.
And he goes over to Michaela and he's like, still got it.
We played ultimate frisbee. We played ultimate over the summer and man, I'm not good at that game, but dude, I was like OBJ out there, man. I was prime OBJ, not the Ravens version of OBJ.
It's like that,
Chase Fisher. When he steps like on a basketball court.
It's like that SNL skit of Peyton Manning where he's just like
throwing the kids.
No, it's
throwers like, at the kids.
Have you guys seen that meme where it's like Shaq and Kobe in the warm-up like in the national anthem line, and then it just like flashes to them alley-oops? That's me and the bishop, man. Derek got released, unfortunately.
I was going to say, Derek is your Mario Chalmers to you and the Bishops, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
Just spot up threes, baby. Spot up threes.
Derek is Norris Cole in this situation.
Speaking of spot up threes, where are we at on the BYU 3-point single game record tracker, Trevor, as Jackson Robinson seems to be going off on what appears to be the wrong night?
Yeah, tell me about it. I as far as I'm concerned, because I've been locked into the podcast, but as far as I can tell, he's still at 7. And Hunter let us know that the record currently is 10.
And he's, I just realized he's now 8 for 13.
Oh, he's eight? At 8? Oh, I missed one. See, that's what a beautiful mini dichotomy to what this BYU team has been all year, where I just blink and they score a bunch of points while I'm not looking.
So
where was Robinson, this on Saturday? It's just
for,
like,
except for in Salt Lake,
the most important game of the year.
Unfortunately, it looks like Jackson Robinson's been moved to, he's currently on the bench. So I don't know if they're letting him rest up for a final run at this record. So the record for made threes in a game for a BYU player is a tie between Chase Fisher and Nick Emery with 10. So he's two away from tying the game or tying the record. BYU's up 26 with 7.5 minutes left. He's on the bench. Do we think that Mark Pope puts him back in and lets him go for the record, or do you think he's done for the night?
He's going to get the record in another game, man. He's
currently tied for sixth most with Mike Rose and Matt Carlino. So
like he's in right now, at least unless I'm behind.
But my ESPN thing is saying there's 7:15 left and he's on the bench. That might be
7 minutes and he's at midcourt right now.
Let me pull up the more reliable live stats from the BYU website. But we will, as this goes on, we'll have a live Jackson Robinson watch.
All right, Cougar fans, T-Lev Y-Fan here to talk to you about a sponsor that we have had on this channel for quite a while, and that is Coup Connect. Coup Connect is one of the premier NIL sponsors of all of your favorite athletes, and they have one job, and that's for you to be able to get face-to-face with all of these athletes and be able to have a way to be able to put money in their pockets as they continue to be money on the field. You will be able to enjoy plenty of content with your subscription of $10 a month, such as my own show, Face-to-Face Time, where I've interviewed athletes such as Darius Lassiter and freshman phenom LJ Martin, as well as film study and various articles from Coup Connect members. Again, $10 a month. It's one lunch in a month. Put money in these Cougars' pockets. Head to CougarConnect.com. Hit that big blue subscribe button and get your subscription today and start putting in your money and paving the way for these Cougs to make a big name for themselves, both on the field and off the field.
Also, speaking of my ward, the Hype Train got a shout out in sacrament meeting. Our beloved listener, Cameron Wilson, is the man. His wife mentioned in sacrament meeting during her talk that her husband was a big BYU fan, and me and him like made eye contact with each other and just like solemnly nodded. Then he gets up and talks about his BYU fandom a little bit and goes like, yeah, I'm absolutely on the hype train. And I'm just like, it took all I had to not stand up and say, amen. Hallelujah. But awesome. Came, like, went up to him, talked to him, found the show over the summer with our Pac-12 Roast podcast, which is freaking awesome. We became instant friends. But I think the clincher, the reason he is my favorite listener that we have is because he said, without provocation, also, will you please tell Trevor that the pick six against Oklahoma was his fault because his hot take was that Aiden Robbins would have two touchdowns?
Dude, I agree.
That's a loyalist, dude.
Dude, like, that is a true brother.
That's a, like, you can just listen to the pod, but like to really just understand my curse, you have to like follow week in and week out to be able to like put that together. Good for him. And with a last name of Wilson, it seemed like every Wilson we knew was balling out on Sunday.
Do we give Trevor his 30 Wilson seconds indeed to gloat about Zach Wilson? Just when Trevor's
No. I think what we need, we all know Zach Wilson's doing well. I need a Hunter Miller Patriots update, please.
Well, Joe, funny that you ask. The Patriots are 1-0 in their last one. And around in Boston, we don't talk about the past. We talk about the present. And presently, what's going on is the Patriots are winning. They're on a winning streak right now, Joe. Sure, it may cost them Drake May or Caleb Williams. Well, it's pretty much already cost them Caleb Williams, but we're on the verge of costing ourselves Drake May, which is really, like, that's just the Patriot way, is to like be atrocious all season, but just do enough to not be able to get a quarterback. However, on the bright side, Bailey Zappi paired with Marvin Harrison Jr. might be the second coming of Brady and Randy Moss.
That's certainly a take.
Also, this week there was
That is certainly one of the quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL.
Yeah. Also, this week it broke their early star reports. Nothing's official, but that the Patriots have already decided that they'll move on from Bill Belichick at the end of the season. So that's interesting.
Did they really?
Yeah, that was Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston, who's pretty well connected and normally right, was on and had a report that they've already made the decision to move on from Bill Belichick. And that decision was made after the Germany game where they lost to the Colts like 10-6.
Jeez.
But also this week, Bill Belichick put on a Navy football helmet on College Game Day and sat next to Lee Corso while he was wearing the goat head. And that was freaking awesome. So I don't know what to think right now. Patriots are winning. Bill Belichick's wearing fake helmets on the set of College Game Day. The whole world is upside down.
My favorite Bill Belichick memory of all time is probably when BYU was up 55-3 on Navy and poor Kirk Herbstreit had nothing to talk about. So they just like called Bill Belichick in the middle of a game and just shot the breeze for 30 minutes.
Since we started talking, Jackson Robinson has shot two more threes, but he is over.
Ow! Come on, Jackson.
I'm waiting on bated breath over here.
Clutch Gene, let's go.
Sub 5 minutes.
I don't need 30 seconds, okay, for this Zach Wilson. All I need to point out is that helmet over there is now.
I don't need 30 seconds is also something Trevor said on his wedding night. Just kidding.
Thank you for that. That helmet back there now has been signed by the AFC Player of the Week. So
let's go.
And
that's pretty cool.
The Scott Van Pelt Hemi Award winner.
True.
For week 14. What's up with the Georgia thing back there?
My mission. So grabbed a license plate on the way out.
Off a car or was it for sale somewhere?
Yeah, it was like a souvenir license plate.
Football, real football talk. Speaking of quarterbacks, BYU's in search of one. The Jets are no longer in search of one. BYU is in search of one. Should we just get right into the transfer portal talk?
Let's do it.
That's kind of seems to be the most topical. It's weird to be like talking transfer portal here prior to Christmas, but that's, I guess, the reality when you go 5-7 and don't go to a bowl game.
Oh, it's sad.
So far, you've had three guys announce they're going to the NFL draft: Isaac Rex, Aiden Robbins, Kingsley. Am I missing anyone? No,
don't believe so.
You had couple guys announced they were staying. Tyler Batty said he was coming back. You had Miles Davis enter the portal and then today announced that he's coming back to Provo. And then as far as transfer portal guys leaving, you have the Daly brothers, you have Dom Henry, you have Soljay Maiava, you have Austin Riggs, Dylan Rollins, who's currently on a mission. I don't think he's ever even like been on the active roster for BYU, but he's a lineman. And then Miles Davis was the other one, but again, today announced he was staying in Provo. So, I mean, what's the, worry level on those names that have announced they're leaving?
None.
And we'll lump the NFL guys in.
I'm pretty much none. Like, I think, is this a surprise? Like, are we surprised that so few people have entered the transfer portal?
I'm a little surprised.
Like
you would have imagined maybe a couple, I don't know, like wide receivers maybe. But again,
I mean, what Dom Henry was on that. You mentioned that, right? But like,
yeah,
I was expecting maybe like a Keanu Hill.
I mean, Chase Roberts was the one everyone was saying, right?
Like, yeah,
Chase Roberts was transferring.
That was all Utah fans, like Utah fan wishful. Chase Roberts to them is Sione Vaki to us for whatever reason, because that does not feel like a total one-to-one trade, but I would take it.
It's like going back when BYU and Utah pretty much swapped Kafusi for who was the running back kid?
Oh, was that Devontae Henry Cole?
Yeah.
Dude, what a throwback.
Henry Cole
BYU legend of about 3 weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, you almost got the
took one step into that room, saw Tyler Algier sitting there, and walked all the way to Logan.
Which is a shame. I actually like Devonta Henry Cole. He's a nice kid.
I'm not worried. You know, you get guys like Dom Henry, who we always seem to hype up our walk-ons more than any other school. He was someone that I think BYU fans had heard of and were excited about. You're leading wide receiver in the state of Florida, just could never find his way onto the field, which is a shame. Obviously a great, you know, based on the limited snaps I've seen of him, he's a great route runner, good hands, but just probably too crowded of a room right now. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. Dylan Rollins, never saw him play, was a, you know, the Montana Gatorade player of the year, which is awesome for Montana. But
seems like he's kind of got like Montana or Montana State written all over him. Like comes back from his mission, probably goes, plays high level FCS football, right?
So yeah, I was pretty surprised. I was looking at BYU's historical recruiting classes the last few years and seeing like who had P5 offers, who didn't. Dylan Rollins was actually one of the more highly rated or highly sought after guys in his class that BYU had. I think he had two P5 offers. So, but if he does end up at Montana or Montana State, like freaking good for him, dude. Just getting home from a mission, seems like a great kid. But again, I don't think that's anyone BYU was like really anticipating would make a huge difference this year.
He tweeted from the mission, which is just an unreal power move. Like they said, like it was the on three tweet that was like, oh, BYU offensive lineman Dylan Rollins has entered the transfer portal. And then he quote tweeted, is like, I'm on my mission, but excited for the next chapter when I get home.
That's like, almost as much of a power move as that kid who Jim Harbaugh visited on the mission.
Yeah.
Pretending he was in the discussions, Andrew Gentry or something.
Yeah. This is number two on that list.
Love it.
To enter and then tweet about being in the portal while currently on a mission. It's just a life that I would not be familiar with.
Yeah. Probably the only one that really hurts of this list is John Henry Daly. Really talented player. I think given the circumstances of his departure, like you'd love to have the talent in the room, but clearly BYU is not what he was looking for from a coaching perspective. So he's seeking greener pastures. So good for him, wherever he ends up. I can't share too much, but with the names that are being floated around in BYU recruiting circles right now, I think BYU is going to be okay. BYU in the last 3 weeks has offered, like, there are like 15 defensive ends and defensive tackles that have visited Provo in the last 2 weeks, and signs are pointing to, and all of them are rated at least in 87 on 24/7, which is like mid to high 3-star. I think BYU is going to be okay without John Henry Daly.
And how many of those, like, I mean, guesstimate would be like play day one kind of guys though? Cause like, I think like that'd be the counter, right? It's like, well, John Henry Daly, like, was finally going to be like ready to play next year. And now you're losing a potential guy who could have started for you in place of, you know, newcomers.
No, for sure. It's a fair point. I think a guy like Naki Tuakoi, out of the Bay Area, he's a 4-star edge rusher, 6'4", 6'5", like 220 right now. So it was a little on the thin side to play defensive line, but could play a linebacker, kind of fill that Kyle Van Noy role. He hasn't committed yet, but, BYU just had an offensive lineman from the Bay Area commit and said he's bringing another kid from the Bay Area with him. So I'm assuming that's Naki Tuakoi. So he could be that guy. Kini Alaofonohema could be that guy. Ephraim Asiata could be that guy. Like there's names being floated around that I think could maybe play right away. Like we'll see what happens come fall camp, but I'm not sure BYU is really going to have any other option than to play these guys right away.
I hate to report that the Trevor curse has claimed another victim. Jackson Robinson has been subbed out with a minute and 45 seconds left in the game. Since we brought up the record watch, he was 0 for 3 from 3. Finished the game 8 for 16. He might be 0 for 5.
I've been peeking out of the corner of my eye. I think he missed two others.
And somehow BYU was up by more than they were when he...
So he did.
Cameron Wilson, that one was for you, buddy.
He did at least tie a record. He now, at least according to Sports Reference, Jackson Robinson's 16 attempted threes is tied for the most three-point field goal attempts in a single game with Jonathan Tavernari, who did it in 2007, and Chase Fisher in 2016.
Dude, that is a Jonathan Tavernari. Right? That is a Jonathan Tavernari stat if I've ever heard it.
I want to know what his final line was in that game. Let's see.
Tavernari would never shoot less than 40% from three, but I'm really hoping it was like 3 for 16 because that would be the ultimate shooter shoot line.
It was against North Carolina. BYU lost by 10. That was to like Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson, Danny Green.
Yeah, they were like number one in the country.
Yeah. Wayne Ellington.
Was that the game where we were like up by one?
That is actually crazy. JT.
Kent Playstead, man. What a throwback.
We love JT. He was 6 for 16 from 3, 6 for 20 on the night. He did. Second.
6 for 16 from 3, 0 for 4 from 2. That is.
He was their second leading scorer. Trent Playstead had 24 points.
Dude, that.
And JT had 18 points. BYU lost by 10. To probably number one UNC in Las Vegas.
Shout out to Trent. Playstead was a beast in that game.
So quarterbacks though. So I think it's no secret that BYU is in search of a transfer portal quarterback. Obviously, you have Jake Retzlaff coming back year two in the system next year. You have Ryder Burton, who's going to be a year two in the system. You have Noah Lugo, who's coming in. I think he tweeted out that he was going to be at BYU in January and enrolling, so he'll be there for spring ball and then fall camp. I don't think the expectation is that Ryder or Noah are necessarily going to compete for the starting job, so it's probably going to be between Jake and then a transfer portal quarterback, right? Like, I think that's fair to say. BYU is has been directly tied to four guys. Like, at least those are the ones that I've seen tweeted out. They either have a visit scheduled or an offer was given. And that was Sam Lovett from Michigan State, who has a Hype Train Pod connection. Talen Green from Boise State. Braden Shager from Hawaii. And then Curtis Rourke from Ohio. Talen Green, the Boise State kid, has committed to Arkansas, and then Sam Lovett has committed to Arizona State. So, Trevor Curse, part two.
Running rampant on this episode currently.
I don't...
Let's give Trevor a second. Trevor, you were entrusted by BYU fans to hear the talents of your cousin.
Here's the thing. It was a fun little bit that the Hype Train did. I can't remember the last time I've talked to that family. Like we're related. And I get updates through my uncle, who's closer to them than I am. But at one point he was pretty convinced that Sam was gonna stay at BYU. I don't know what happened, but for hope he can have a good time at Arizona State. The last few QBs tied to BYU that have gone to Arizona State haven't fared super well. So hopefully he can get that monkey off the back there. But it is what it is.
I think it's fair to say that if you're going to Arizona State, you're not going there to play school or probably play football. So it's hard to turn down a visit to Tempe in mid-December.
I mean, is it though? I mean, I love Red Rock
money,
as much.
How much money guy, comes? But... How much money comes with a visit to Tempe in mid-December? Okay,
that's a fair question.
He better get you a good gift, Trevor. That's all I know.
Yeah, now's the time to start reconnecting. right as that NIL money hits.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not overwhelmed by the names on that list.
I think Taylen Green would have been awesome.
I don't know, man. He can run for sure. Yeah. He's built like Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Got the arm, strength. He's got arm strength for days, but man, he makes some crazy decisions. Like, is he better than what BYU has in the QB room currently? Absolutely. Do I want the future of my program to be him? I'm not sure. Like, he maybe just makes some. He's bigger. He's bigger Jake Retzlaff. Like, it's.
Yeah.
To me, like.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
And cut.
Sounds awesome.
I don't know. He's a guy who got benched. He's a guy who got benched at Boise State and somehow ended up at an SEC school.
I mean, he looked pretty good in the Mountain West Conference Championship game.
He did.
The only Boise State game I watched, but I remember watching that game and be like, this quarterback's actually pretty good. And then the next day it was like, he's in the portal. So, but I agree. Like, I mean, Sam was a highly rated high school quarterback. Didn't really play at Michigan State. I think he was still a freshman, right? So like he could have been, I think like there's not a lot.
He redshirted this season, 2023 class.
There's not a lot of tape, college tape for him, but like he was a highly rated high school recruit, went to a Big Ten school and then is transferring. Like that's someone I think that's the kind of project I think that if you're in a position like BYU is in, like that's the kind of guy I think would be nice. Right.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, Chandler, for thinking that?
No, I think that's exactly what you want. And to that end, like, could we still hope that some other quarterbacks hit the portal? Right. Like, as there's all this shuffling going on, there's plenty of top universities. I mean, looking at Ohio State, looking at a few others that were probably still going to be bringing in a starting quarterback, given that their starter transferred. And we could definitely see, hopefully, Devin Brown or maybe even some others hit the portal here soon. So, definitely still a possibility. Just wouldn't be Levitt.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet that BYU's quarterback hasn't entered the portal yet.
So here are the other quarterbacks I think that are interesting. And this is not reporting or breaking any news. This is just purely like speculation in terms of like, these are interesting names on the list, I think. And these are guys who have entered the portal, right? So Malik Murphy, BYU played him. He started for Texas in that game. He probably seems like a guy who might be like Ohio State written all over him, but like still would be an awesome quarterback. That's like, I think like best case kind of dream scenario is like getting someone like him. Ty Thompson, he was the backup for Bo Nix at Oregon. He looked to be the starter after the Pac-12 championship this year. And then Dylan Gabriel transferred to Oregon and he says, you know what, I'm out of here. I think he's interesting. Nate Johnson, obviously the Utah kid who entered the portal. Drew Pine, who was connected to BYU last offseason before he went to Arizona State, ended up getting injured, didn't play much this year. Now he's back in the portal, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that BYU would at least inquire with him again. DJ Uiagalelei, same boat. Like BYU had talks with him. There was like at least some level of mutual interest with DJ and BYU before he ended up going to Oregon State, played great. I think his stock is a lot higher than it was last year when he entered the portal, coming off of a couple of disappointing seasons at Clemson. So we'll see, like, if any interest is rekindled there. And then the last one would be Bryson Barnes, a local Utah kid who played at Utah, started majority of their games for him this year with Cam Rising out. He's in the portal as well. So those are at least names that I saw of like guys who are in the portal who have not committed anywhere that like piqued my interest at least.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a name none of you guys have heard of, Javonte McCoy from the University of Idaho, just led the Idaho Vandals, I think, to the FCS semifinals. That kid is a baller. Like his stats this season, he was completed 65% of his passes, 2,900 yards passing, 8.2 yards an attempt, 15 touchdowns, 143 passer rating. When you watch him play, he plays a lot like Shedeur Sanders. He takes a lot of sacks, but he's also extremely mobile. He's a name that like I watched him for about 10 minutes because I'm a sicko watching FCS playoff games. But man, that kid can play. And if that ends up being BYU's guy, I feel like BYU could do a lot worse. Of the names you mentioned, though, I think Ty Thompson from Oregon.
Yeah.
I had, like, there is some mutual interest there. I believe he has a visit scheduled with BYU. I think that would probably be your best bet. He's got a really big arm. He was like a mid 4-star recruit. I think he had like a 95 rating on 24/7, something like that. Had offers anywhere in the country. Just didn't work out at Oregon for whatever reason. But like, I mean, I think BYU can do a lot worse than a sophomore quarterback like him.
Yeah. Ty Thompson. I mean, if you can pick up anybody from, I mean, Oregon, that would be big time. Another name, interestingly enough, because it was rumored today that he is moving on from Nebraska, Kyle McCord from Ohio State. I don't know if there's any interest there. Malik Murphy is a name that I think just based off of, obviously, he's coming from Texas. I mean, he and Ty Thompson have a similar, like, oh, look where they're coming from type vibe to him. I do think Malik Murphy, personally, is a little bit dangerous of a pick just from the standpoint of, like, scheme. I think we found ourselves this year talking about kind of some of the limitations that Keaton had in this offense because he wasn't as mobile as we've had in the past. And Malik Murphy's up there as well. I mean, a big guy, huge cannon of an arm, but just doesn't run at all. And so that would be a name that if we got him, obviously I would be pumped. But it'd be another one of those where I'm asking myself if we can run the offense that A-Rod wants to run with that signing. So food for thought.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you see Ben Criddle's take on Malik Murphy?
Yeah, I'm not even going to address it.
Okay, we don't have to do that, but it's good. It's good.
Look at it. Is it good?
No. Anyway, go ahead, Chandler.
Oh no, I mean, just parsing through the list. Yeah, like Ty Thompson is really the only one that would super excite me. Like Trevor mentioned, the scheme fit. We need somebody a little bit more mobile, and that is kind of the ideal scenario, right? You find like the high recruit, had offers everywhere, was just stuck behind somebody incredibly talented but more experienced like Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And then we've seen most of the other people on the list are kind of known quantities, right? Like we've seen Bryson Barnes and Nate Johnson. It wouldn't surprise me if we did have interest because they are more local, and it wouldn't maybe be too big of a stretch for them to move from school up north.
Acclimated to Utah anyway. Just go 40 minutes south.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if we were interested. And if we made, I wouldn't be as excited, clearly. But
yeah.
And then Malik Murphy as well, and Drew Pine and DJ Wikilele, if he doesn't go to the NFL. I think he's still mulling that over. I wasn't sure. But
yeah,
all of these are known quantities. And so I'd rather take a risk on somebody who's young, has the talent, and we can kind of mold and go forward from there, as opposed to somebody who we've seen maybe not be great, or we kind of know what they are, and it's not super, super exciting, even though they could be a decent stopgap quarterback for a year or two.
Yeah. But you did see that this last year. I mean, like, we've seen it work, right? So, like, Michael Penix was a guy who you think, well, we know what he is, right? And then he goes to Washington and blows up. Bo Nix, same thing. Like, Auburn, you're like, we know what Bo Nix is. Goes to Oregon, two great seasons. And then, obviously, Jaden Daniels, Heisman winner, like, was not good at Arizona State. Like, when he decided to enter the portal, like, his teammates trashed him. Like, there was obviously that viral video of them cleaning out his locker, talking about how he sucked anyway. And then he goes on to win the Heisman, right? So, like, I do think to some degree there is that sense of, like, we know what these guys are. But in another sense, like, we might not, right? Like,
for sure.
There's always that change of scenery, like, boost, right? Where it's like, oh, this guy's obviously talented. He just needs a change of scenery. Or he needs to run a different system, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, this year, I think, is obviously probably an outlier in the sense of, like, three of the Heisman finalists were transfer portal quarterbacks who, quite frankly, weren't great at their first stops and then ended up being unreal this year. So I do think it's an interesting balance, because more likely than not, you're exactly right, Chandler. Like, we know what these guys are. Like, it's not going to make a crazy difference because just by transferring to a new place. But there is that realm of possibility, right? Like, DJ Uiagalelei, like, had a like smaller version of that, right? This year, going from Clemson, bad, got benched for a freshman, goes to Oregon State, like, leads them to like their best season, like, ever, right?
For sure. And I will say to that, we'll say to that, like, some of those quarterbacks as well went from a mediocre surrounding cast to a much more talented one, right? Yeah. Like, Michael Penix going and joining Washington and having Rome Odunze, who will be a top 10 pick, Jaden Daniels as well, going to LSU with Malik Nabers, who as well, like, incredible, like, only didn't win the Biletnikoff Award, right, because of Marvin Harrison Jr. So you have those guys, and if BYU had one of those, I'd be like, hey, you know what, maybe we can salvage some of this. But I wouldn't expect there to be like a significant change of scenery that I would feel more encouraged about, at least to make that kind of a turnaround, you know.
So let's just say I transport you back to 2021.
Yep.
This total sidetrack. Is there a funnier trio of quarterbacks that I could tell you, hey, this is going to be the three Heisman finalists in 2 years? Is there a funnier trio of quarterbacks that I could have given you than Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, that's a preposterous. And then the son of Marvin Harrison.
Like, those are your four. Just like, who Michael Penix was at Indiana, who Bo Nix was at Auburn, and who Jaden Daniels was at Arizona State. Like, fit is everything for a quarterback, right? Like, if you get the right guy, like, Nate Johnson is a guy, didn't work out in Utah system, clearly a talented player. Like,
yeah. And I think
somewhere else and be great. DJ Uiagalelei wasn't great at Clemson, went to Oregon State, had a, you know, pretty solid year. Like, it's all about fit and your surrounding cast, like Chandler mentioned. Like, if BYU had Rome Odunze, I feel pretty confident that they wouldn't be the 120th ranked offense in the country last year. Like,
And I guess, like, the question too, like, do you feel like the wide receiver room at BYU is better than the wide receiver room at, like, Utah? Right.
That's a fascinating question. I would still say yes.
Cause, like, Chase Roberts, Darius Lassiter.
I mean, maybe Utah was trying to get Chase Roberts, right? Like, they would kill to have Chase Roberts in that room. But, like, Devon Vele is leaving. Mikey Matthews is in the transfer portal. Like, they don't really have anyone left.
So it's like, you know, one of those situations where, you know, Nate Johnson comes to Provo and gels better with their wide receivers here and gels with Darius and Chase and Keelan and Cody and, you know, plays really well. But, again, like Joe said, like, there's even guys who haven't entered the portal. I think obviously one name BYU fans would look at and one name I keep my eye on is Devin Brown at Ohio State, who, again, hasn't entered the portal. But Ohio State's making no secret that they're looking for a guy in the portal as well. That's why Cal McCord left. I think Malik Murphy, they've been tied to Cam Ward, the Washington State quarterback, who put out a "I'm either going to the draft or I'm in the portal" announcement. So, like, I think there's a likelihood that he may go to Ohio State, and especially if it's Malik Murphy, who was a freshman this last year. Like, I don't think Devin Brown wants to, like, sit and waste away his career as a backup at Ohio State. Like, say Malik Murphy goes to Ohio State, I think Devin Brown enters the portal, because it's, you know, well, they're not bringing in some senior grad transfer where I'm going to sit for 1 year. Like, now they're bringing in a freshman, and I'm going to sit for the next 3 years. And, you know, he doesn't have all the eligibility in the world. So I think that may force a Devin Brown to leave, in which case you would look at BYU reaching out to him, obviously a Corner Canyon kid, and see, you know, if there's any interest there. Played with Harrison Taggart and Cody Hagan, who are, you know, both going to be in Provo next year.
I know they're trying. I know they're probably trying.
Yep.
Hey, Cougar fans, just wanted to tell you all about our new sponsor, Defense Drinks. Defense is a premium recovery mix specifically designed to aid in injury prevention and tissue restoration, setting it apart from typical sports drinks. Defense is formulated with high-quality ingredients, primarily collagen and vitamin C, to help keep athletes playing the sports they love. Whether you're an athlete or just at home after a tough workout, Defense can help you recover and recover quickly. Defense contains collagen, which research suggests can help strengthen and restore tissues around joints, reducing the risk of soft tissue injuries. So head to defensedrinks.com today to place your order. Use the code HYPETRAIN at checkout for 10% off. And right now, get free shipping on all orders of $75 or more. That's defensedrinks.com.
Yeah, I still hold that BYU's next quarterback probably hasn't entered the portal yet. Portal's still open until January. Bowl games are going to shake out. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it seems like the coaches, have, at least on the defensive side of the ball, have been focused much more on high school recruiting right now. BYU is still trying to find an offense. Like, they still haven't announced an offensive line coach. Sounds like it's going to be TJ Woods out of Georgia Southern.
Yeah, well, Pete Thamel said it was. And so that's as good as an official announcement.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone had been saying for a week.
It was
a well-kept secret.
Yeah. People were probably wondering what happened with the Jeff Grimes thing. He wanted a title and a salary that BYU could not offer. And so now he is the offensive coordinator at Kansas, is kind of the summary of that situation. And so good for him.
Which, I mean,
we can chalk up Kansas as a dub in Provo next year.
I mean, OC at Kansas is better than offensive line coach at BYU. Dude, right?
Could you have a more contrasting style of play than what Kansas was last year and what they're going to try and be under Jeff Grimes?
That's what I'm saying. Like, Jaden Daniels, like, who announced he was coming back to Lawrence to play one more year at Kansas, is probably going to be like, ah, crap. Like, it's not going to be this, like, run and gun.
Hey, if I'm Devin Neal, though, I'm pumped.
I know that BYU, you know what? Like, the first 2 years of Jeff Grimes are awesome. Like, they were awesome. They were pretty good at BYU. Awesome in 2020. Then he goes to Baylor and they win a Big 12 championship. Like, and then it, somehow they fall apart. So maybe next year Kansas is just going to be freaking awesome before they go back to being Kansas. But yeah, like the whole RVO type offense, that does not seem to be who Kansas was last year. And I don't know how you look at that Baylor offense if you're Kansas and think, yeah, I want that.
Give me
some of that. The only offense that was worse than BYU's last year. So yeah, TJ Woods going to be BYU's new offensive line coach. Also fine.
Also rumblings they might bring in a run game coordinator slash maybe.
Yeah,
coordinator support.
If it's the name, I don't think we can announce the name yet, just because he's under contract at a different school.
Never talk about another man's job.
Yeah, he is a P5 offensive line coach. He's been doing it for a long time. Has had that title before. And if BYU gets him, that changes my entire tune about the TJ Woods hire. Like, again, TJ Woods is just kind of a big fat meh. Until kind of proven otherwise. Like, he could be awesome, could not be great, who knows. But if this next guy gets brought in to be the tight ends coach and run game coordinator, we're right back on the 15-0.
Yeah. Because it would make sense, right? Like, this was a hire that needed to be a home run hire for BYU. And like, TJ Woods could be great. I don't think right now I would say that's a home run hire. But I think if you get this other guy who we've heard about as like a run game coordinator slash, I mean, do we dare say co-offensive coordinator or just offensive coordinator support?
That'll be the title. Co-offensive coordinator, assistant head coach for sure.
Yeah. So like those things are meaningless. Then that becomes a home run hire. Right.
Yeah. Like, and those titles are meaningless. Like, how that's going to go is Aaron Roderick is still going to be the guy saying, all right, we're running a pass play on this. And then he would call the pass play. And if he says run, then the other guy would call that run play. Yeah. But really, all those titles are just kind of made up for resume embellishing. So, and so they can justify paying him more money.
Yeah. We said we were going to talk 20 minutes on transfer portal, and we're now at 42 minutes.
Hey, you know what? Tis the season, right? Yeah. This is the best time of year when there's nothing but hope. And the reality doesn't set in until like next March.
I don't know why.
Then we get spring practice hype.
I don't know why we set time parameters before we start recording. Like, we sit down, peek behind the curtain for listeners. We sit down in this virtual studio. We say, this is what we're going to talk about. Probably spend the first 15 minutes on this. then the next 30 minutes on this, and the next like 15, 20 minutes on this. And then we start recording, and then the thing that we said we were going to spend 20 minutes talking about, we spent 45 minutes talking about.
In our defense, we were kind of shooting the breeze a little bit for at least the first 10. So we're...
Sure. So only 35
We're not as far over as we could be. Brethren, it's that time of year. It is time for the annual Hypey Awards.
Ta-da! Hypey Award nominees.
Hypey Award nominees, correct.
The winners will be announced post New Year's.
People have been asking if we were to change the name of the Hypey Awards, given how the season turned out. The answer is absolutely not.
Nope.
We are who we are, and yep, the Hypey Awards, it shall remain.
Because there were things to be hyped about this season, whether you believe it or
not. There were moments. Yeah.
There were moments, there were players, there were even games in which hype occurred. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Again, this is the nominees. We will, for people who don't know how this has worked in the past, we will give the nominees on this show. We will then send out a Google form in which people can cast their vote. That, I think, this is our last podcast of the year. So this is the last 2023 podcast. Next week, obviously, we're getting into Christmas. And then people are going to be on Christmas vacations, the new year. We will record when we come back that following week after the new year. So between, you know, today when you're listening to this, and then you can go and you can vote on the Google form, which will be on our Twitter and our Instagram and everything like that. Cast your vote, and then we'll announce the winners on the next podcast.
Love it. Do we want to start at the bottom or the top?
Let's start at the bottom.
Okay. Play of the year. Hunter, we'll start with you.
Yeah. Again, like, this seems to always be a trend of like insane catches, right? I think last year our play of the year was Puka's catch versus Boise State to win on the road, the toe tapping catch. This year, my nominee for player of the year is another insane catch. This time a one-handed catch, a couple to choose from. I went with the Darius Laster catch versus Texas Tech. Just the way, like, he's along the sideline. It was a deep throw. He had a defender, you know, close or near him. I would probably give my emphasis over this over the Chase Roberts catch, which I'm sure is going to be one of your guys' nominees, just because the Chase one was a shorter throw in the end zone. I think the degree of difficulty was higher on Darius's catch, and so that's going to be my play of the year, even though the moment may not have been as big as the Chase catch.
It was definitely the catch of the year. I think Chase Roberts was the moment of the year. But Trevor, let's hear yours.
Yeah, so we've segued this perfectly, because my nomination was Chase Roberts' catch against Arkansas. Got the number one spot on SportsCenter's top 10. One of the first I think we've had ever. At least that I remember having in a long, long time. The go-ahead touchdown. Seemingly, Hunter says that the other one has higher degree of difficulty. I would offer that Chase inspired Darius Lassiter, and that's why he was able to make that catch in the first place. So Chase Roberts opening the floodgates for the rest of the receiver room to go crazy with his one-handed catch against Arkansas.
I mean, no SportsCenter top 10, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was the number one play, as a matter of fact. Chandler, what's for yours?
Yeah. So, and as a reminder to the listeners as well, we try not to duplicate any sort of nomination, which is tough, because I think if you would all ask us privately, we'd probably agree about what the play of the year was. But I went with the Eddie Heckard strip sack to clinch the win against Arkansas. That's the one that came to mind.
That's a good one.
We all remember the catch, right? Because that was incredible by Chase Roberts. But seeing that defense show up and play with that much heart after starting off to a 14-0 deficit, they were aggressive getting after it. And then seeing Eddie, who we all expected so much out of, get the strip sack to clinch the win was huge.
That's fantastic. Am I allowed to choose the Crew Wakely 15-yard penalty against TCU as my pick? No?
The anti-player of the year?
We are going to go back to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go Jake Robinson's pick six against Cincinnati, only because it was the first It was the first pick six by a BYU cornerback since I was like,
it was a
not eligible for to sin. Is that
a way to phrase that? It was the first pick six by a BYU cornerback at Lavelle Edwards Stadium since Justin Robinson in 2006 versus Utah State.
Good grief. I was 11 years old. I did not even have the priesthood yet. Okay. Game of the year. Hunter, we're going to start with you just because it's so sad.
Well, Joe, thank you, first of all. It's with a heavy heart that I nominate this game because it was a BYU loss.
You can't pick a loss.
No, you can. You can pick a loss. BYU versus Oklahoma, game of the year. It was heartbreaking. Everyone left sad, but also you like, let's not forget the stage that was set prior to that game, right? Like you got the doors blown off you by TCU. You got wrecked by Texas. And then you came home against Iowa State and you're like, hey, we just got to beat Iowa State at home. We're going to go bowling. Iowa State ended that game in the first 5 minutes. Like the stadium was empty by the start of the fourth quarter. Like it was the lowest BYU football had been, you know, since losing to UMass in 2017 as BYU was coming into that game. And then you were playing a top, what were they at the time? 12? Either way, top 15 opponent, Oklahoma, prime time, 10 a.m., ESPN. It was rainy. It was cold. BYU with Jake Retzlaff goes out there. They compete for 60 minutes, like the exact opposite of what you had seen from BYU the prior three games where they just rolled over and let the opponent do whatever they wanted. Like BYU put up a fight against one of the better teams in the country. They had the opportunity to win. The pick six, obviously, is one that, again, it's nominee for anti-player of the play of the year. But that game, it sparked hope in me as a BYU fan for like the first time in 4 weeks leading up to that game. So that's why I have to nominate it as game of the year. Even though BYU lost, it was probably the most exciting, thrilling, had me on the edge of my seat game of the year versus a good opponent, right? Like you could argue that Arkansas was like a more thrilling back and forth game, but Arkansas ended up being bad. Oklahoma was really, really good. And so that would be my game of the year. And it was a home game. So again, we've never nominated a loss here, but I'm doing it.
Can we officially put a covered wagon emoji in our Twitter bio? Is that how this works?
Sure. Yeah. We lost a big time game, and that's
we went toe to toe, Hunter. Toe to toe.
The playoff committee has proven my point that good losses are better than good wins. So BYU's good loss to Oklahoma is better than any of their wins that they have on their schedule.
In Hunter's defense,
I'm right. Yeah.
Like,
thank you, Trevor.
What Chandler just said that we try not to repeat. Nominations. So either Hunter picks BYU versus OU, which it was a good game, or he has to, through his teeth, convince us that one of the games of the year was Sam Houston,
you know what?
Or SDU.
Trevor, that's a great point. That is a fantastic point. I think you're completely right. Hunter, I apologize for dumping on your take before. I think you might be right.
However, against my defense, I was the first person to put down a nomination in this category.
Well, so as dang it,
I put Hunter, down BYU versus OU before any of you had put anything else.
I came to bat for Hunter and he threw me out himself.
Here's the question. As bad as you felt walking out of that stadium against Oklahoma, is it still better than you felt walking out of that stadium against Sam Houston State?
Yeah, it was.
Yes, 1,000%.
Yes, and I'm not going to put Southern Utah on this list. No, I genuinely believe, like, if I'm talking about, like, which game did BYU have their best performance, like, it honestly probably was the Oklahoma game.
That just sucks.
Like, which game did BYU play their best of the 12?
It was Oklahoma.
It was Oklahoma.
The first half against Oklahoma State.
That's also probably true. That one hurt too much for me to put on the list.
Yeah. Trevor, let's hear yours. We probably got to go a little bit faster because we're at 52 minutes.
Well, to be fair, the rest of these shouldn't need as big of a disclaimer, right? But BYU versus Texas Tech. BYU, one of the first teams to snag a win against one of the original Big 12 members with Texas Tech, forced five turnovers in that game, held Taj Brooks to a pretty below average game for him. He's been incredibly talented. So for the BYU defense to be able to come out and put together the masterclass that they did, that was my game of the year.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So my process of elimination is not going to be Sam Houston or Southern Utah. Couldn't do it. So it's going to be Cincinnati. And so it's a win, win at home. And it felt good. It was our first conference win, you know, there at home. So
yeah. First home conference game too.
Exactly. Yep. Started 1-0 at home in conference. So why not?
Did not finish 1-0.
Did not.
I'm going to go with Arkansas just because it was the happiest I was all season. Like after that game, man, I thought BYU could be something. We were all calling it the best win of the Kalani Sitake era. In the moment, all recency bias there. Probably wouldn't say that now, but it was still a fantastic night of relishing in a win in SEC country. Special teams player of the year, Hunter.
Marcus McKenzie is freaking awesome as a gunner.
Like, is he the only gunner? Is he the only gunner you've ever known the name of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how good he was.
Another one that I thought I know one other one, and then nothing came to mind. But yeah, I mean, what he recovered a couple fumbles. Like, he was always the first guy at the returner. I think this is going to be a runaway for somebody else on this list, but I do think Marcus McKenzie like proved that, like, if nothing else, he's like the Matthew, again, Patriots reference. He's the Matthew Slater of this BYU football team.
Don't know who that is, but I believe you.
Patriots, gunner on punt coverage and could be the only special teamer to be non-kicker special teamer to make the NFL Hall of Fame.
Dude, that's sick. Yeah, punt coverage got noticeably worse without him. Like, there's a real case to be made there. Chandler, you also have someone who has made a big special teams turnover this year.
Oh, because, again, process of elimination, I had to go with my boy Austin Riggs, which is the first name that everybody was thinking of. Just hit the portal. Will be missed. Somebody else is going to have to fling it back to one of the younger Rico brothers. I might have spoiled something right there. But, yeah, he recovered a fumble, and that is more than what most long snappers can say at the end of the year. So,
he didn't have the elastic on the sleeves of his jersey, and that's always a win.
That's a great one too. Chandler, you do know Harrison Taggart blocked a punt this year, right?
You know, I
stand by it. Stand your ground, Chandler.
Yeah.
Chandler deserves his own hype award because he filled out this list last and decided to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
I was at an intramural soccer game right before this. And so I, like, we lost 4-3. I scored 3. And my thought was, like, is this what feels like? Like, at the end
of the Jordan
day,
Poole.
Blood, sweat, and tears, putting it all out there and just it just not being enough. And so,
Chandler scored 3 goals and then had to pick Austin Riggs for his special teams player.
Oh, man. That's tough. All right, Trevor.
All right. My pick is going to be Will Farron. A couple reasons. One, he's a Davis High grad, so go Darts. But on top of that, just coming off of a preseason where the kicking was, we couldn't hide it. I mean, coaches were concerned. Fans that were at the spring game and various other places were concerned. And he came in and he wasn't perfect, but he did the job. And I never felt like he missed ones that he should have. The only ones that he ever really missed were the ones where I felt from the beginning, I was like, okay, we're asking a lot of him. But even then, he hit the game-tying field goal against Oklahoma State to put it into overtime. So for that, Will Farron is my special teams player of the year.
There's an argument to be made that Will Farron was the second most valuable transfer brought in this offseason.
Especially with all the questions we had at kicker, right? Like, I remember after like the spring game or whatever, or the fall camp scrimmage, like the big question was, does BYU have a kicker? And Will Farron went out there and for the most part did very well. Like, I never looked at kicking as an issue for the BYU team. Granted, that's because there were much larger, more important issues for the BYU team this season. But, like, I never looked at the kickers being like, and our kicker stinks, you know, like, and I think that's the biggest testament to Will Farron is like, of all the questions we had about the position going into the season, he performed very admirably.
Ryan Rico is my pick. Dude's a
boss. I don't think
boss.
This one's going to win, Joe.
Yeah, dude's just it's a long shot for sure. He was a legitimate weapon. Like, there's a real case to be made that he could be BYU's offensive player of the year this year, in true Iowa fashion, because he might be the sole reason, plus like Eddie Heckard, for the reason why BYU beat Arkansas, because he was just so nails in pinning offenses back.
What's up, Cougar fans? Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle is the premier college apparel brand in all of the internet. Seriously, they have everything you need. They have royal, they have navy, they have white. Kalani could fill his entire wardrobe with just three clicks. From tees to hoodies to crew neck sweatshirts to 1984 memorabilia, they have it all for you. Head over to charliehustle.com and get geared up today.
Newcomer of the year.
Yeah, I have LJ Martin, freshman running back. He obviously burst onto the scene the first few weeks. Injuries kind of derailed the end to his season. But still, looking back on the year, he was number two on the BYU offense in total yards from scrimmage behind Chase Roberts, and only by 22 yards, despite appearing in like two less games. He also was tied with Chase Roberts for the team lead in touchdowns scored. So small sample size, like, didn't see him a ton towards the end of the year. His best games came start of the year. But even then, like, he was one of the top offensive performers for this BYU football team, despite the lack of production and lack of appearances in the latter half of the season.
Yeah, I think there's a real case. Oh, Grant, I don't know every freshman running back in the country, but if he had stayed healthy the whole season, I could have seen him being a freshman All-American this year. He was really good. Trevor, let's hear yours.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a guy whose play was mentioned earlier in the nominations, but Darius Lassiter, a guy that's been that when he came in, obviously I was very high on Keelan Marion, but Hunter very prophetically called out that Darius Lassiter could very well be kind of this quiet killer, be leading the team in touchdowns towards the end of the year. And kind of did that, was kind of just Mr. Reliable. Obviously had the catch that we mentioned earlier, and was just there when we needed him. And with him, from what I understand, coming back this upcoming season, should make a lot of lot more plays both at LES and wherever we head on the road.
One thing about Darius that I really liked this year was, like, when it seemed like no one on the offense wanted to step up, Darius stepped up, right?
Yeah.
Like, there in the middle of the year when BYU was losing and it kind of seemed like no one, and like, this isn't true, but it just gave the feeling of like, no one really wants to be here. Like, Darius went out there and like showed out and balled out. So yeah, shout out to Darius. I think he was a really good player for BYU and can be a really good player for BYU next year. Chandler.
Yeah. I decided to go with AJ Vongpichon as my newcomer of the year. I thought he was one of our more consistent defensive players. And I felt like he added kind of this level of physicality, right? Like, on a lot of the third and fourth and shorts that we experienced, he was the one making the hit behind the line of scrimmage. He was like bringing kind of a lot of that physicality. He's a pretty sure tackler as well. Very admirable performance given that he came in his last year of eligibility and just kind of balled out. Like, it was noticeably different that defense when he was on the field making tackles. So appreciate him coming and putting in a good shift, and best of luck with whatever's next.
BYU's second leading tackler behind just Max Tooley. So
believe it.
I'm going to go with Siale Asara, true freshman this season. PFF had him rated as BYU's fifth best defender. He only played 101 snaps this season, which is lower than we would have hoped. He had an injury most of the season that kind of kept him out, but he looks like the kind of guy who can be the future of the BYU defense. Big body dude, doesn't miss a lot of tackles, is productive, had an interception this year. He's just the type of dude who BYU needs a lot more of and makes me excited about the future. Between him and LJ Martin, those are really the only two guys I would even be sad if they left through the transfer portal. There's no indications that they are, but those two are by far the two most valuable freshmen on this team. Offensive player of the year, we'll start with you, Hunter.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the guy who had the most scrimmage yards for BYU this season, and that's Chase Roberts. Again, like leading touchdown scorer, or tied for leading touchdown scorer with LJ Martin with 5 touchdowns, 585 total yards from scrimmage, 573 of those through the air. He was, you know, for lack of a better term, like BYU's wide receiver one. I don't think they necessarily had like a true wide receiver one, but Chase, I think, was the closest thing to it this year. So, I think he obviously had his best success with Keaton Slovis at quarterback. But yeah, so Chase Roberts, I think, is my nominee for Offensive Player of the Year. And let's face it, there's not a whole lot of options here, but I think Chase did have a very good season.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to follow that up with a kid who's been on here just the poll before, but LJ Martin. Especially at the beginning of the year when it just felt like we couldn't get the run game going at all. For him to come in as young as he is and just be the change up that BYU for whatever reason needed in that time. Big touchdown run against Arkansas, that huge game opening run against Texas Tech, just was asked to do a lot in a season where I'm sure he was going to get playing time, but was not going to be kind of the savior that this run game needed at times. To me, that speaks to how valuable he is, and that makes him my offensive player of the year.
Yeah, I decided to go with Isaac Rex, especially with him heading out to the NFL. Best of luck, Isaac. To break the all-time touchdown record for BYU as a tight end, it's pretty awesome. So good for him. He felt like he was one of our more reliable players on offense as well. Like a lot of our chunk yardage gains seemed to go to him, and it seemed like he was a very comfortable target for whoever the quarterback was at the moment. So yeah, Isaac had overall a good year, maybe a little bit of a down year. I think that the last game, of course, is on everyone's mind, but he had a good year overall and he'll be missed.
Love it. I'm going to go with an anti-award. I'm going to go with Drake wearing a BYU jersey in the preseason, because that is the only explanation for how bad BYU's offense was this year.
And I did find it offensive.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jesus. Thank you. That sums up the offense this year.
Defensive player of the year.
Quick.
I'm going to go with Tyler Batty. Put this into perspective, Tyler Batty finished with 5.5 sacks on the season. No other BYU player finished with more than one. Like, he's the only guy who is. Yeah.
I'll go a step farther than that. He also led the team in QB hits with 9. The next closest had 6. And he also led the team in QB hurries with 19, and the next closest was 10.
Yeah, led the team in tackles for a loss. He also had 2 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery, and he had a freaking awesome fake punt catch against Oklahoma State. So he was BYU's leading offensive player in yards for scrimmage per play with 36.
He's legit. Like, we talk about how much BYU's defensive line sucks. He's a legit pass rusher. He really is.
Just imagine if there was anyone else who could generate pressure and he didn't have to like absorb all the like double teams or chip blocks and stuff like that.
For real.
If you had a guy opposite end of him who could take some of the pressure off, it'd be great.
Well, hopefully next season, right? He's coming back.
Yep.
Before you guys get to yours, I'm just going to go on record and say that we were 100% right in our preseason about the best cornerback room in BYU history, and we're about to tell you why.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start us off here. Camden Garrett, I mean, talk about just a beautiful 1-2 punch to Eddie Heckard and what he was able to do this year. The guy just seemed to just be with his dude every time that ball was thrown in his direction, able to get his head around and make plays, just very, very reliable. And just you worried, or at least I was curious with him coming with Eddie, that, you know, were we reaching a little too far into the FCS world to pull up two corners from Weber State? And obviously we know what Eddie's done, but Camden Garrett let everybody know that he was just as special and had honestly an awesome year, especially against Oklahoma. Felt like he was making a lot of big time plays up there. Notice I was saying, you know, go Camden a lot in that game. So Camden Garrett for defensive player of the year.
Yep. I decided to go with, again, another corner from that room. I took Eddie Hecker because he was still available somehow. And he seems, I would say, the favorite, right? When everyone thinks of this past year on defense, he definitely stands out. 5 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. He had 2 of those interceptions against Oklahoma State and kind of single-handedly kept us in that for a bit. Honestly, just an incredible year. We like you said, Joe, I think we nailed that at the start of the year. Like, he was going to be one of our best players, if not our best player overall. I think he lived up to that, and super sad to see him go again, but yeah, he had a heck of a year, balled out, and I hope that he has some success at the next level.
Love it. I'm going to go with Jacob Robinson. Same reasons all of you guys mentioned. He did have the first pick 6 for BYU since, what was it, 2006, you said, Hunter?
First pick 6 by a corner at home.
He had 4 interceptions this season, which is super, super productive. I'm super glad he's coming back next season to anchor that BYU defensive backfield for the 3rd straight year. Most improved player.
Yeah, give me Ethan Slade in this. Like, this is a guy that just a couple of years ago we were talking about a kid who was on the wrong end of pretty much every practice highlight that was coming out from fall camp, right? Like, we sat on this podcast and talked about how Ethan Slade was a highlight machine, just unfortunately on the wrong end of those highlights. And this year he was a highlight machine on the right end of a lot of those highlights. A guy who came in, Micah Harbor goes down with injury before the season starts. Malik Moore, you know, gets benched at points during the season. And Ethan Slade is a guy who had to step in and fill in that safety role when I don't think necessarily he was expected to carry a lot of weight at that position. Ends up appearing in 11 games for BYU and is their 3rd leading tackler, just behind Max Tooley and AJ Vonquichong. So, like, he came in and he wasn't just filling up space, but like, he was filling up the box score as well. So I think Ethan Slade for my most improved, from going from a guy that no one really expected much of, that, you know, guy Puka Nacua unfortunately was getting the better of him during practices, which Puka's gonna do that to just about everyone, but
he's Ethan doing Slade it to Minka Fitzpatrick.
And,
so
yeah, now, but for Ethan to step in this year and kind of fill in the shoes of Micah and fill in the shoes of Malik as well, like, that's big props to Ethan Slade.
Yeah, my most improved, Chase Roberts, we've talked about him already. But being able to, from last year, kind of be he did have some injuries, but being a little bit of a flash in the pan at wide receiver 3, obviously had the big Baylor game last year. For him to be able to come back, be the reliable target, as Hunter, you know, the term he used was wide receiver 1 this year, to me that shows improvement, and I think we're going to see another big jump from this year to next. So my most improved is Chase Roberts.
Perfect. I went with, on the defensive side of the ball, I went with Harrison Taggart for most improved. It's hard to know exactly kind of his baseline and where he started, but quickly he became needed with Ben Bywater going down to injury, and he quickly became one of those central contributors, kind of calling the defense, flying all across the field, on special teams as well. So honestly, super valuable contributions all year. He was definitely, you know, his name popped up a few times for some big plays. So super glad to have him, and he definitely seems to have, like, bought into the culture. Yeah, let's go with him.
Love it. Joe, your nomination.
I am going to go with Crew Wakely. I don't know if there's anyone who had a bigger one-week turnaround in BYU history than Crew Wakely. Everyone calling for his head after that TCU penalty. And then the next week, I believe he had an interception in that game against Texas Tech. Almost had two more, including a pick six. He was just a really productive player for coming into the season as like the fourth string walk-on safety. He played about as well as anyone could have hoped for. I think the safety play was better this season than most BYU fans think. And I think he deserves special mention. Our final award, the Hype Train Heisman. Who you guys give it to?
This is a guy that I think was on the short list for the preseason watch list for player of the year, the Hypey Heisman. And that player is Eddie Heckard. I think, you know, we talked about Eddie Heckard leaving BYU as one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in school history. And I think he did exactly that. I wish we could have him for more than just 1 year. But in just his short time at BYU, I mean, he led the team in interceptions, 5 interceptions. He had a pick six against Oklahoma State. He also had a fumble recovery for a touchdown against Texas Tech. He had 3 forced fumbles on the season, 2nd on the team with passes defended with 6. And then he also came away with, I think, 7th on the team in tackles, 47 tackles, 4.5 tackles for a loss. Like, it was such a stark difference of what we're kind of used to at the cornerback position, right? Like, I think in the past we've had cornerbacks that kind of wait for the play to come to them. Eddie was a guy who went out and made the play, and I'm going to miss seeing him on the football field. I think by far he was BYU's most valuable player. Like, he, Chandler talked about it earlier, like, he made the game-winning play against Arkansas. I think he, for the second half against Oklahoma State, kept BYU in that game. Like, Oklahoma State could have ran away in the second half, but Eddie Heckard was out there like single-handedly keeping BYU just in the lead long enough to force overtime. So I think Eddie Heckard, definitely the MVP for BYU.
That's a good one. My MVP is going to be Ryan Rico. Joe talked about him earlier. I think what Jay Hill has done with the defense has made me appreciate Ryan Rico that much more. Because previously field position didn't really matter. We'd drop 8 and give up these long drives, whether we started at the 5 or at the 45. And so for him to be able to pin guys deep and then have the defense back him up and keep them on the opposite side of the field was big. Ryan Rico, the certified field flipper, for Hypey MVP.
Fair enough. I decided to give it to LJ Martin. At the start of the season, especially when things were kind of sputtering on offense already, it seemed like he was the shot in the arm we needed. And I remember a few specific kind of prove it runs where nothing was going right. And suddenly, like, he defies all odds, throws 4 defenders to the ground and somehow gets the first, right? Like, we saw plenty of that. Would it surprise you to learn that he averaged 4.8 yards a carry behind that O-line this year? And somehow Aiden did too. So interesting stat there for you. But yeah, LJ certainly seemed to carry the offense. I think in some moments where nothing else was working, and definitely to all of our surprise, right? Like, I think we were excited about getting him as a transfer, or not as a transfer, but as a recruit, and having flipped him from Stanford. But I don't think we quite expected that from a freshman running back to carry the offense on his back at certain moments. So super proud and glad to have him.
Sweet. I think I have the winner. I am going to go with whoever the backup quarterback for BYU happened to be that week.
Cade Fennigan.
No matter how bad things got on offense for BYU this season, success was only one play away, one benched player away. And I think that means something. It's nice to have hope. It's nice to feel like no matter how bad things get, things can always get better. And I think that's what BYU's backup QBs offered this season. And so I think that's why whoever the backup QB was that week deserves the Hypey Heisman.
I agree. If only the backup quarterback was the starter, BYU would have been undefeated.
I absolutely. So this will be fun. We got some good award nominees. Feels like football season was freaking forever ago, man. And it was only
we haven't even played bowl games yet.
Dude, that's what a season like this will do to you. But BYU is officially a basketball school, except for one night this season. We'll see all you guys when BYU gets to the Final Four here in March.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.